CNN today published a editorial piece. It was written by Newt Gingrich. But in this particular case, other than the last paragraph, there's nothing of Newt Gingrich in the editorial. It is simply a review of a survey that has recently been conducted. And it is exactly what I had expected, maybe even to a greater degree than what I had expected. And unfortunately, it wasn't as the survey wasn't as pervasive as I would have liked. And maybe if we look up the survey as opposed to just reading the article, we would find more that would be affirming. It begins, Americans are in a period of amazingly negative thinking about the state of our country. Americans are in a period. Now, this would, when you say in a period, this would indicate that this is a finite duration. That this is, while it doesn't say that explicitly, that it's, that there is a hope that Americans could emerge from this period with a different perspective. That is certainly what is implied by are in a period. Otherwise, you would simply say, Americans are amazingly negative in their thinking about the state of the country. That's what you would say. So by saying are in a period, he's what he's doing is he's begging his conclusion, which we'll share here in a moment. But the statement is absolutely true. Americans are amazingly negative in the thinking of the state of the country. I would change that to, rather than amazingly negative, to amaze is to surprise in some ways. But it also can mean to impress, or impressively negative. But in my view, the reality is that the country and its institutions are so counterproductive, so corrupt, so unfixable, that the only rational, the only informed conclusion that can be drawn is that one ought to think negatively about every institution associated with the United States of America. Its military, its Congress, its executive administration, the presidency, the Supreme Court, the whole political process, its media, its religious institutions, all of them. And so we should not be amazed that the majority of Americans have a extraordinarily negative view and that very few Americans have an extraordinarily positive view of American institutions, even though patriotism is the propaganda of the day. Even though Americans are constantly told, you are exceptional, manifest destiny, we're a force for good in the world. The military is serving and protecting and providing your freedoms. Your economy is robust and growing and is wonderful. America cares for the world. America, blah, 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 land of the free, home of the brave. Even though the propaganda is ubiquitous, the truth is speaking more loudly today. Going on in the next statement here. A recent Gallup analysis drove home how deep and how threatening the current mood is. Now, I would say that this is a little of Gingrich's influence here. The Gallup analysis does drive home how deep, by deep, that would be rather than a superficial group of people, a small group of people saying that their government is and their national institutions are untrustworthy, it's the majority. So That's what deep means. And in this case, deep is correct. I would not say threatening as the next descriptive term. I would say widespread. I would say broad-based. I would say universal. Because it's not just one institution. It's not just the Democratic Party. It's not just the Republican Party. It's not just Congress. It's not just the Supreme Court. It's not just the president. It's across the board. And I don't think that the negativity towards people recognizing that their government is full of it, that their government is actually counterproductive, is a threat at all. In fact, I think that people's souls are far more at risk when they don't hold this view than when they do. And I think America is far more threatening when people believe in their government, when people believe in their military, when people believe the propaganda. America is vastly more threatening than it is when people begin to not only question these things, but resolve to understand that the institutions of America have become counterproductive. Moving on to the next statement. Gallup asked Americans in early June, so about a month ago, how much confidence they had in our nation's, this would be Americans, this is written by Newt Gingrich, in our nation's institutions. What are our nation's institutions? Federally, Supreme Court, Congress, the president, the Department of Defense, our military, but also America's media, America's economic system, like the Federal Reserve, America's religious institutions. I mean, institution is a pretty broad term. The answer is not much. Only 30% of Americans said that they had quite a lot of confidence in the Supreme Court. Now, I'm here to tell you, the 30% of you that said you had a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in the Supreme Court, you're idiots. Let's just be blunt. You're not paying attention. You're responding out of a patriotic zeal. You're not thinking. The U.S. Supreme Court has not acted in harmony with the U.S. Constitution in a very long time. Most every decision made by the Supreme Court now is their political opinion is being expressed. They aren't arguing over whether or not a law that they are reviewing or a case that they are reviewing is supported by or in conflict with the Supreme Court. There are almost no decisions made by the Supreme Court, a very, very tiny percentage, that are actually rendered on the basis of the U.S. Constitution. So for the 30% of you that have quite a lot of confidence in the Supreme Court, you're just not thinking. You either don't know the Constitution or you're paying no attention to the Supreme Court's renderings. The most important rendering here of the Supreme Court recently would be their unwillingness to hear any gun control law, because if they heard it, they would have to be in an overt conflict with the United States Supreme Court, and their willingness to continually support the overturning of people's voted Democratic insistence that marriage is between a man and a woman. And when these are overturned, they won't hear those cases. But beyond that, when the Supreme Court heard the case of Obamacare and that Obamacare was unconstitutional because there was no constitutional mandate to give the federal government the right to impose its will regarding health care on everyone, because the Constitution is real clear. It says these things that it specifically delineates are the rights of the federal government. Everything not specified in the U.S. Constitution is either the rights of states or the rights of the people themselves. And health care is not one of those rights that is described in the U.S. Constitution. And so what the Supreme Court did is they amended the Obama law as opposed to just ruled that it was unconstitutional. So for the 30% of you that have a great deal of confidence in the Supreme Court, you're idiots. Goes on from there. Just 29% felt that way about the presidency. Well, I would say the same thing to you. Well, I am really pleased to hear that 70% of Americans have no confidence in the Supreme Court and that 71% of Americans have no confidence in the presidency, no matter who is in office, Democrat or Republican. Well, that's really encouraging, and that makes us the majority. What in the world is wrong with the 29% of you who do have confidence? Is your confidence based on your politics, or is it based on reality? We have my good friend Larry who has called in. This is quite a poll, and you are the perfect person to comment on it because if I'm not mistaken, Larry, you were an executive.
I was a top market research interviewer for Gallup in the world for 2 years.
Yeah, wow. You've heard it all. So what do you think about the fact that 71% of the American people have either no confidence or very little confidence in the presidency?
Well, I wonder about the other 30% like you do.
Yeah, I want to
say, you know, happy Interdependence Day.
Yeah.
You
notice we're not taking today off. we're here. We'll be doing our evening show today for those who want to participate in the Shabbat show on Blog Talk Radio. It's Yada Yada Radio. But we're going to be emphasizing whether the Torah is a set of laws to be obeyed or instructions to be observed. And we're going to focus particularly on the instructions regarding food today in our Shabbat program. That said, you know, we're both, I'm laughing at myself here, and you're probably laughing at yourself, is that isn't it wonderful news that Gallup is reporting that 71% of Americans have little or no confidence in the presidency, and that 93% of Americans have little or no confidence in their Congress. That really ought to be news that we're celebrating, and yet we're wondering, what's wrong with the 29% who do? We'll be back with Larry in a moment. Larry, and we speak to Larry here. Larry was one of the top executives in terms of composing these kinds of polls for the Gallup Institution. So we're talking to somebody who knows the business of polling. Larry, when I read the first three things, which was people's confidence in the Supreme Court, where 70% of Americans have either no confidence or very little confidence in the Supreme Court, and that 71% of Americans have either no confidence whatsoever or very little confidence in the presidency as an office and institution, and that 93% of Americans have very little or no confidence in the U.S. Congress. I was encouraged. Then I actually looked up the Gallup poll. All of that's true, and that's good. Americans are questioning their governmental institutions by between 70% and 93%. Would you like to know what institution on the list that Gallup queried people on had the highest approval ratings by Americans with 75%?
The presidency.
No, the presidency only had a 29%.
Let me guess, approval. The military.
You got it, the military.
Mm-hmm.
The military had 39% of Americans said they had a great deal of confidence in the U.S. military, and 35% said they had quite a lot of confidence. You know,
I have a lot of confidence that the military can destroy.
Yeah,
nothing can stand up to it. Anybody who doesn't think that's a fool. But at the same time, if they think, you know, it's the same thing that goes on. There's a pattern here. I mean, we're taught what? To walk in this school and talk to a flag. Didn't you always tell us not never to do that?
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Told us to walk away from that flag.
You'll get the Christian right. They're trying to take the Pledge of Allegiance out of the school. You mean like, you know, like Yahweh told you to? Things like that?
And when the first when the first requirement of the covenant is to walk away from your country, and the second is to trust and rely on Yahweh, when you put those two together, which it becomes inescapable as a conclusion, is that God is asking us to rely on Him as opposed to our national institutions and the national institutions that people rely on for their freedom and for their prosperity, for their opportunity, is their military. And so God is saying, don't rely on your military. And in fact, every time in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, the Israelis relied on their military, they got their behind kicked. And every time they chose to rely on Yahweh and didn't rely on their military, they prevailed.
Yahweh did use the military. He did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he was there with them. And he told them exactly what to do. And when they followed those instructions, they won.
Yeah, but by the way, they very seldom actually had to fight.
Most of the time, people ran from them.
Jeff Jericho is, walk around the walls and blow your horns.
Beat the drums, a dozen guys run off 100,000.
You're right. With Dode, it was, with Goliath and the Philistines, I don't want you to go war with these guys. I'm just going to send one dude with one stone. And a one sling, and it's going to be over. That's his style. The Assyrians, when they came with 185,000 warriors, did the Israelis engage their military?
No.
Mm-mm. No.
No.
No, they...
That was when King Hezekiah decided, I think it was Hezekiah, decided to turn back to the Torah, didn't he? And they all ended up dead the next morning from disease.
Yeah, can I ask you a question here, Larry? You were in the military. What benefit can you see now in Syria and in Iraq that was achieved by the use of...
It was a $4 trillion net minus. A total net minus. We've got people committing suicide left and right. We've got we've got military men and women used like bastard stepchildren.
Yeah.
We do have a few people being enriched that do sell the weaponry.
So if the military was so wonderful, why would some 80 veterans of the military be taking their own lives every single day?
Yeah.
If the military was so wonderful, why would sexual abuse be more prevalent per capita in the U.S. military than it is anywhere else in American society? The military was so wonderful. Why are Iraq, Afghanistan, and Vietnam, all places the U.S. military invaded, worse for the experience, not better? We'll be back after the commercial break. Larry, we're going to get back to this poll here in a moment, but I just have a question for you. They were the advertisement was talking about GMO-less foods, that there's nothing genetically modified within the food. Are you aware that there's no such thing as a non-genetically modified food source? Every food source, whether it be grains, whether it be fruits, whether it be animals that we consume, that all food sources are genetically modified. We do selective breeding and we do selective seeding to get more of those things that are
I know
most beneficial.
That I eat is genetically modified. I don't know if there are any, heirloom seeds in the world left.
An heirloom seed would be genetically modified. Throughout all 6,000 years of human history, farmers have planted the seeds for those things that were the most productive and the least prone to disease. And that whole selective process genetically modifies the result. I mean, all foods, everything we eat has always been subject to genetic modification. If they weren't, we'd be starving to death today, because when you gather a lot of one thing together, as farmers do, hunter-gatherers don't, but as farmers do, they become vastly more subject to disease.
Well, and you're going to have insects that are prone to want to eat those.
Right.
And I do think that a lot of the GMO foods today are definitely detrimental. They're not what they used to be.
Yeah, but I'm just going to tell you, there is no such thing as a non-GMO food.
Yeah, that's going to be another problem. Yeah, there you go, mixing seeds. You know,
right, yeah. Like, I mean, everything is genetically modified. If you wanted to use the term processed foods that aren't healthy, where they've extracted nutrients from the food prior to turning it into the edible. You know, a Twinkie is a processed food. Now, if you want to talk about, you know, Twinkies tasting good but not being nutritious, you ought to be using highly processed foods. Can be less beneficial than.
Then you have the other problem, you know, with a Twinkie. How do you know if it's fresh?
I mean, what does it matter?
Trying to figure that one out. I'm fresh. Yeah. Twinkie.
Yeah.
That's like a jumbo shrimp, you know. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, that you'll never get your mind wrapped around. I was considering one of the reasons that people really do, and if there's a religion in this country that is very confusing, it's definitely the religion of the military.
Yeah.
I have a son that's military.
It's called patriotism. I mean, patriotism and the military is kind of a worship of the military.
But they walk us in and they stand us in front of a flag, don't they?
Right. Absolutely.
And they have us pledge allegiance to that flag over and over and over again in our young lives.
At a sporting event, who's carrying the flag? Who's marching and carrying the flag? Military. Yeah, you have somebody from the Marines, men and women from the military. You have somebody from the Marines, somebody from the Air Force, somebody from the Navy, and they walk in carrying the flag, and the whole audience stands up and sings a praise song to those, and typically they'll even have you stand in honor and support of the military and of the flag.
What I would say to that is this: is it's very beguiling.
It is.
And I'm not, you know, like I said, my son's in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
You were Special Forces too, weren't you?
Yeah, and he is too. And, I mean, he came in and was telling me he just did a 13.1-mile ruck with 60 pounds on his back, you know. And he's proud of the fact he went, you know, I raised him to be that way. There was a reason for that.
Right.
He's
strong.
That time I didn't know.
Fit. Right.
Yeah, but I didn't know what I know today either.
Yeah, you and me both.
And you know, I sit down and I look at Yahweh's words, and I just want to consider these because this is at the root of it.
Yes.
You should not ever do anything that associates yourself with a carved image or idol.
Yeah,
religious icon or object of worship or any visual representation of something which is in the heavens above, that would be like stars,
right,
or which is on the earth below or which is in the waters beneath the land. You should not ever bow down and worship them or speak for them, and you shall not serve them. Now, that's in what is mistakenly called the Ten Commandments, because Yahweh allows free will.
Right.
That's
second,
why we have these things in direct opposition to him.
Yep.
Most of your Christian right, as you know, supports the military.
Yes.
Most of your Christian right say they believe in God.
Yeah.
Well, these are God's words.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now what?
Yeah, now what? That 3- and 4-star general with the stars on his shoulder that you're told that you have to respect, that you have to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, don't do that. That flag that's covered with the stars that God says you should not swear allegiance to. Why are you doing it? The propaganda in association with the U.S. military is sickening. Today, I won't turn on a television just because no matter what you watch, it's going to wallow in a reverence for the U.S. military. The reality is really true. It's the same as it was for Hezekiah. If we did not have a military, we'd be much safer than we are with the military.
Well, I think that was one of the two things that Thomas Jefferson said we should never have. It would be a threat to our freedom, a central banking system, or a military.
Correct.
We have both.
Yeah. And of the single, if you were to boil down Jefferson's principal animosity towards the U.S. Constitution, and he never endorsed the U.S. Constitution because of the fact that it lacked a provision preventing the United States from having an established military. He realized that established military is the means to bankrupt the country, to lavish all manner of financial gain onto individuals, the military-industrial complex, to promote propaganda and that which myths that serve no one, to extraordinarily empower the chief executive of the country. He said it was the number one means to destroy a nation's freedom, was to have a standing military. He was right. Let's move on to some of the other things in this list because it's really interesting. If you move down the list, it says that 55% of Americans have little or no confidence in the church or organized religion. That 45% of Americans have a lot of confidence or significant confidence in the church or organized religion. And I'm sorry for you, for those of you who are in that group. But could you ever imagine a time in America where 55% of Americans would say they have little or no confidence in religion or the church?
I'm glad to hear it. It's all coming apart.
Yes. I mean, you shouldn't. If you're a Roman Catholic, you are an idiot. I mean, you have, and one of the things that's so sad is that today the majority of the U.S. Supreme Court is comprised of Roman Catholics.
I wonder how that is.
Yeah, I mean, you can see how stupid their decisions are. But if you're a Roman Catholic today, you absolutely are not playing with a full deck. Your oars aren't even within a zip code of the water. To say you're not playing with a full deck is to suggest that maybe there's even a deck that is there to shuffle. I mean, you just have to be an absolute idiot to be an Orthodox Christian today.
Oh, well put.
You're not thinking. But it is encouraging to find that not only do 55% of Americans have little or no confidence in organized religion, that's the fastest trending number. Of all of the numbers, that's the fastest trending. By fastest trending, moving from 20 years ago, it was probably 80% that had high confidence in religion in their church.
Certainly, 40 years ago it was.
Only 45% today, 55% having little or no confidence. So that's a very fast moving number, and it's moving faster for Roman Catholicism than any place else. The second lowest after Congress was television news. Boy, is that ever encouraging. 18% of Americans have some or a lot of confidence in television news. 82% of Americans know that the news they get on their television is dishonest propaganda. News on the internet is only 1 point better. Boy, there's a lot of lies there. Almost everything that I've sent that is sent from a blog or some internet news source, I disregard. And I know a lot of you send me things all the time. Most of it I disregard because it's just not credible. And if you do any research,
most,
you find it's not
most
credible.
Most people really don't do the research. They have half-truths in there. But I have to say that, when people like Katie Couric, of all people, come out and say that they weren't telling the truth. I mean, she publicly made that statement. They were told exactly what to say, and if they didn't say it, they were booted off the air.
Of course.
When, you know, mainstream, if there is such a thing anymore, mainstream people like Katie Couric come out and say that. If you don't believe her, well, then you're stupid.
Yeah. It's, you know, the news on television, in fact, in the media business, it's like academia today. You either toe the politically correct line and you are part of their groupthink, or you won't be there. You'll be drummed out of academia and be drummed out of the media.
Smithsonian Institute. If you say, hey, guess what? This all proves there's a God. This is not, you know.
Right. You won't be there tomorrow.
Macro-evolution didn't happen. Well, you'll find yourself looking for a job. If you're at the UN and you're wearing a white coat and pretending to be a scientist, which you probably aren't anyway, and if you turn around and you say anything about the man-made global warming scheme, you find yourself, what, without a job.
Well, unemployed, even though truth is on your side. Now, the next thing here is that big business only has a 21% approval rating. And I think it's just because in our society, from the media, from politics, from virtually everywhere, big business is assaulted. You know, the biggest business in America is GE. GE is not an evil corporation. Now, if you were to take and look at Exxon, you might then have a different point of view. But why is people against big business? Welcome back to Chattering Miss. We're talking about America's dissatisfaction with American institutions. And, Larry, if I were to look at big business and the fact that you're looking at almost 80% of Americans that are opposed to big business. Much of that, I think, is media driven. Most large corporations are not evil industries. I would say the defense contractors, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Halliburton, General Dynamics, et al.
Big Pharma is pretty
Big Pharma, I know, is particularly in the conspiracy world. The Big Pharma is considered evil. I have a mixed view of that. If it wasn't for big pharmaceutical companies,
there was a doctor down in Texas. It's a really pretty fairly sad story. He actually developed a gene therapy which cost about $2.52 on average to cure a cancer patient. He cured many, many, many that were way past the stage of being treated with poison, and cured them, hundreds of them. And the FDA stood out front, and they applauded him publicly while they worked behind the scenes to eliminate everything he would need for this gene therapy, because there are billions of dollars made in the cancer industry.
I'm not going
that's
to.
A fact. That's not a maybe.
Okay, hang on.
Research.
Okay. I'm glad you researched it, and I'm sure you believe it's true, and it may in fact be true. The fact is that the reason that pharmaceuticals are so expensive. The research they have to do is expensive, and most importantly, the FDA compliance studies are extraordinary, and there's very few companies willing to invest $1 billion in getting a drug through the FDA. And if you're going to spend $1 billion getting a drug approved by the FDA, you are going to A, have to sell it for a lot of money, and B, protect your rights. And the third reason that pharmaceutical products are so expensive is because of the lack of tort reform, where a jury will award, and it happens regularly, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to a potential side effect of a drug. So
I've said this for years. I understand. That's why, you know, I mean, the cost of a lawyer, hey, lay deosin, you know, it's figured into every time you buy a loaf of bread, you know.
Yeah, but in the case of pharmaceuticals, there is no place where the cost of a product is more determined by the lawyers seeking class action suits on behalf of the few than it is.
Same thing with doctors, medical malpractice.
Than it is in medicine, particularly in pharmaceuticals. And so the majority of the complaints against pharmaceutical companies are wrongly viewed, in the sense that the biggest obstacle to prevalent and inexpensive remedies is the U.S. FDA, the lack of reform that exists in our court systems, where the lawsuits add enormous cost to what you're buying, and the fact that we are a people that are so afraid that the few will be injured that we won't allow a company to bring out a product that hasn't been so thoroughly researched in trials that even if you have you can show, I've done this and here's the benefit of this product. If there's a chance that it could negatively influence a few, we will not allow it to be used on the many, to benefit the many.
You and I are in complete agreement on this. And I think there have been so many forces brought to bear that work in direct opposition to
right.
health that it's impossible to have
right.
now. In this
yeah, we actually needed health care reform, but unfortunately, Obamanation did not deal with any of the areas that required reform, and simply manipulated the areas that didn't require reform and made them worse. I think that Big Pharmacy is, while certainly not a wonderful group of guys, particularly with, the fact that, the most profitable products are things like erectile dysfunction and Botox. You do have to scratch your head here a bit and say, I know that's what people want to buy, and who are we to tell companies they shouldn't offer what people want to buy? But boy, this is a really screwed up system we have of managing the whole healthcare process. We'll be back after the news and commercial break.